This is the Woodland Hills Family Church Podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now enjoy today's message with Ted Cunningham.
So today we're talking about deciding on the resurrection. And if you have your Bibles or you want to open the Bible app, you can go to BibleGateway.com and turn to Matthew 28. We're actually going to go through the entire chapter today as we look at the resurrection and the decisions that we need to make off of it. We've all made a lot of important decisions in life. How many would say the day you got married was an important decision? Can I just see your hand? How many deciding to get married? That was an important decision. How many deciding to have children? That was an important decision. Some of you are like, we had a lot of them, but I don't know how much of a decision. It felt like. How many of you taking a job was a big decision for you? Let me just see. How many of you coming back today to Woodland Hills was a big decision for you? Can I just see the hands? Yes. So we know a lot of people, this is their first time back in a year, but big decisions. Today we're looking at four decisions that we see people make. Many of them we're going to encourage you to make. As the resurrection is proclaimed today, and by the way, it has already been proclaimed in worship clearly today as we have been singing and worshiping together, the resurrected Jesus. And my son drove me here today. He's 15. He gets his license in a couple of months, so he's a permit driver. And I made him listen to He's Alive by Gaither Vocal Band 4.5 times. That's how many times you can listen to that song from our house to the church. But it's our Easter tradition. Every Sunday morning, every Easter Sunday, I wake up and I put that on and Amy joins me. And nobody sings it like David Phelps. I know some of you are like, Dolly Parton, way better. But David Phelps, I think, beats out Dolly Parton with He's Alive on that. How many would agree with me? How many disagree with me? Okay, we have some Dolly fans in the house. So, but I told my son, I go, I love starting Easter with this. And I told him on the way in, and I'll tell you, this is the day we celebrate the resurrection. And the Pentecostals are still shouting about it. Okay, the Charismatics are still dancing about it. Okay, the Baptists are still amening it. Okay, the Presbyterians are still studying it. And the Episcopalians are still toasting it. Can I get an amen on that one? And we I always love to get a Baptist to amen that one. But we're non-denominational, which means we do a little bit of all of the above. So we're glad that you're here. But today, the very first decision, almost every single person on campus and those who are tuning in, you've already made this first decision on the resurrection. And it's the decision of come and see. I've heard from people all week that have been inviting friends and family. A buddy told me yesterday I ran into a guy at Lowe's, and I was wearing something that had Woodland Hills on, and he asked me to go to Woodland Hills. Yeah, and invited him, and I hope he's here today. Some of you have been inviting guests to our town. Others have been inviting waiters and waitresses, the neighbors that, you know, you've been talking to and investing in for a while and sharing with, that you invited them, and we're glad that you're here. Today, we come and see the empty tomb, the resurrected Jesus. He is alive, and in Matthew 28, verses 1 through 6 is where we get this first decision. After the Sabbath, which was Saturday, at the dawn on the first day of the week, which is Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Now, keep track of all of these details, because in just a moment, we're going to see the guards are going to share everything that had happened. And you need to remember these details to pick up in that piece of the narrative. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. They passed out from this. Then the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. And here is the message of Easter. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said." And all the Pentecostals said, "Amen." No, they didn't. They went, "Woo!" That's what the Pentecostals did. And all the Baptists said, "Amen." Okay, there they are. Just as he said, this is the message of Easter. Come and see the place where he lay. It's very important to understand that the stone was rolled away not so Jesus could escape. The stone wasn't rolled away so that Jesus could get out. The stone was rolled away so that you and I could go in and see, that others could go in and see that the tomb is empty. It was rolled away so we could come in and see that it is empty. And that's the first person today that's here. You've come to see, and you would be a seeker. You have questions. You have a lot that you want answered, and you want to know, what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does the resurrected Jesus do for me? What am I supposed to do with him? And today, as the gospel is proclaimed to you, we just want you to know that we're opening up the baptism. At the last service, we did that. We look forward to it in this service as well. For those who make decisions today, or if you've never been baptized, you can follow me down right after this service and meet me at the water, and we will take you down into the water. And this is the picture of going from death to life. And we'll send you home with a dry shirt and a towel so you can keep your car dry as well. But we want to encourage you, if you're seeking today, you've come, you're here, a friend or a family member's invited you, a neighbor's invited you, that this was the first decision. You've already made a decision about the resurrection. You're seeking, you're questioning. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 15 as he talks about the resurrected Jesus and his appearances to people and the evidence that we have that Jesus is alive. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And then at that, he appeared to Peter, Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. They have died. Verse 7. Then he appeared to James, then to all of the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, one abnormally born. Meaning Paul did not, he met the resurrected Jesus, but not at the same time that the disciples did. And so you have come, you are checking it out, you are seeking, and it's this second decision of the resurrection that we encourage, that we preach, that we teach, that we sing about, that you now have seen the resurrected Jesus, that the tomb is empty. He died for your sins, that you would move to this second decision, which is believe and worship. We read, continuing in verse 7, then go quickly and tell his disciples, this is the angel, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. And that has been our prayer for weeks and months leading up to today, that many of you would meet Jesus for the very first time. Suddenly meet Jesus, and that you would meet us at the water. And what baptism says is, baptism does not save you. Faith alone and Christ alone saves you. When you step into the water, that step of obedience, it's pointing people to Jesus. It's saying, I've made the decision. This is an outward expression of an inward decision, but I am pointing people to Jesus, letting people know that I am going from death to life. It says, when they met him, greetings, he said, they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go and tell. Keep that for the very last decision that we're going to make today about the resurrection. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. There's another person here. I actually met a friend at Tractor Supply a couple of weeks ago, and I love Tractor Supply. I don't know if you love Tractor Supply, but I so bad want to be a farmer. You have absolutely no idea how bad I want to be a farmer, and I don't feel they fully accepted me at Tractor Supply. And I try to fit in. I try to play the part. I wear leather gloves out of my back pocket when I go in. I try to have my boots and my pants not all perfectly put together. I have 12 chickens. So they're like, you're not a farmer. You're a hobby person. But I try to play the part. And I ran into my friend. And he said, I'm inviting a family member who I know made a decision for Christ years ago. But Ted, this family member is drifting. This family member is not following the Lord, is not pursuing the Lord. He's not, his family's not. Ted, just pray with me that this family member will come to church with me. That's a lot of folks who are here today. Not just the seeker, but there are many of you in here who you decided to follow Jesus years ago. You decided to follow Jesus years ago, but now you're drifting. Today, Easter Sunday, is the day that Jesus suddenly meets you again, that you would cling to him, that you would clasp him, and that you would worship. That's the thing about drift. Drift is just the lack of decision. No one decides to drift. You just stop deciding. And we're not talking here about your salvation. I believe if you place faith in Jesus and you became a Christian, I'm not talking about your salvation. But you know as well as I do, whether it's the crowd that you got into, a job that you took, maybe it was relocation for some of you coming to Branson and you disconnected from your church in another state and you've never really plugged in. It's time to end the drift and begin deciding again, choosing. But there's a third decision, and many will make this decision after coming today and seeing the empty tomb. The third decision we see in the scripture today is that many deny and dismiss. That's their response. That's their decision to the empty tomb. And we pick this up in verse 11. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priest everything that had happened. This really jumped out at me over the last couple of weeks, because I've read Matthew 28 before over and over again, and I tend to go to the front part and the last part, and I go past this part of the guards' interaction with the chief priest, but they reported everything that had happened. Remember, I told you to hold on to those details. What did they report? There was an earthquake. I can just imagine them sharing this with the chief priest. There was an earthquake. An angel appeared, rolled back the stone. I don't remember much after that because I was on the ground passed out. And the chief priests say what? Yeah, we ain't going with that story. That's not the story we're going with. You give us some time. We're going to meet with the elders. We're going to come up with a different story and we're going to bring it back to you. But definitely don't let the truth get out. Don't do that. It's everything that had happened. Circle that in your Bible. Underline that in your Bible. When, watch this. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, which is what some will do today if they deny or dismiss the resurrection, the truth has been spoken. It has been testified to. You will have to devise a plan in order to deny the resurrection. You will have to go with a false narrative. So they come up with a plan, and look at this. I could just see the chief priests. Okay, all right, elders, so this is the story. What's the story we're going with? His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. The guards are never going to go with this. We're going to have to pay him. We're going to have to give him some money to distribute the lie. It says, they gave the soldiers, go back there, Katie, for just a second. They gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets out to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. What would be the trouble a guard in this situation would find himself in? It's called the sentence of death. They would be put to death. But we think this is a story that works. It's such a good story, we have to bribe you to share it. Goes on. So the soldiers took the money and they did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. And I was thinking about it this week. Every single Christian I know believes in the resurrection. It's an essential of our faith. To be a member of our church, you know, we prioritize and we say it's the essentials that you have to believe in. The non-essentials we have a lot of liberty in, but the essentials and the resurrection is part of our essential beliefs. And every believer I know believes in the resurrection, but I talk to believers weekly, almost daily, who deny the power of the resurrection. Especially in counseling. Constantly, believers are denying the power of the resurrection. So that's my question for you. You're like, I would never deny the resurrection, but are you denying the power of it in your life? Do you deny the power of the resurrection over your alcoholic father? There's no way my dad, there's no way my mom, there's no way my brother, there's no way my sister could be saved. Listen, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that raises your dead soul. It's the same power that saves you. It's the same power that raises your marriage. I meet with spouses all the time who tell me nothing will ever change him. Nothing will ever change her. And that is you denying the power of the resurrection. I have an eating disorder, Ted. There's absolutely no way. I've tried everything. Don't deny the power of the resurrection. Whatever you're dealing with in mental health. I know you're visiting psychiatrists and psychologists, and we have therapists, and we send people to therapists. I'm not down on therapists at all, but don't deny the power of the resurrection. And I would encourage you to flee from any professional who does. Because the power of the resurrection brings hope. It brings hope for your life. It brings hope for your marriage. It brings hope for your family. Paul said it this way in Ephesians. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that saves you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that saves your family and your dead marriage. Stop listening to the lies. Stop denying the power of the resurrection and lean in to the resurrected Jesus. Because here's the bottom line. Satan is a liar. And he wants you to believe, and he whispers these lies to you. In John 8:44, we read, he is a liar and the father of lies. And he shares these lies. Not only do you believe them, but you repeat them to yourself over and over and over and over again. To the point it's destroying you. In 1 Peter 5:8, what do we read? Be alert. And of sober mind, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And you've been believing the lies. You've been telling yourself these lies for years, denying the power of the resurrection. What are some of the lies that he wants you to believe? Some of you believe the lie that you're worthless. And you've forgotten the truth that you're created in the image of God. You're an image bearer of Almighty God, which gives you automatic intrinsic value. You have value. You have worth. Some would say, I'm too far gone. You listen to the lie every single day. You can't have this much addiction. You can't be addicted for this long and ever, ever be redeemed. Doesn't happen. It's the thing I hate about cancel culture. The thing I hate about cancel culture is there is no redemption offered. You did something 30 years ago, you're done. Guess what? The cross of Christ brings redemption. The resurrected Jesus brings redemption. If you've been listening to the lie that says you're done, right? You're too far gone. There is no hope for you. That is a lie. And is there no greater joy? If I get my counseling friends in here, my coaching small group leaders in here, is there any greater joy than to sit in a small group and just listen to someone talk about themselves and realize, wow, this person is lying like crazy about themselves? Is there any greater joy than to correct a lie that someone has believed their entire life? That is joy. Some of you have fallen for the lie, you're unlovable. Because you had a parent, a mom or a dad, or maybe a family would tell you that over and over and over again. And their love was based on what you did or did not do. And so you believe, I can't be loved. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You are one to be loved. Some of you have gone even deeper into the lies. Your family and friends would be better off without you. You say this to yourself almost every day. The people in my life would be better if I were just not here. If I was gone. And over the last 12 months, we know many have dealt with suicidal thoughts. And some of you have fallen for a lie. And please hear me, it is a lie. It's not worth living. People would be better without me around. And that is a lie. And believing these lies and living out these lies, you're denying the power of the resurrection in your life. And if I can quote an old hymn for those of you who are struggling with, does my life matter? Is it even worth me being around? I love this hymn. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Stop believing the lies. You don't deny the resurrection, but you deny the power of the resurrection in your life. That today would be the day you cry out to Jesus. Some of you believing those lies for a long time. I just pray today's the day of your salvation. Or if you are a believer, but you've been drifting, that today would be the day you come back to your Father. You come back to your Father. And then the church, there's one more decision we make. We come and see, we believe and worship. We even believe in the power of the resurrection. The scripture ends with the Great Commission. The text we're looking at say, go and tell. The news we're sharing today is not just for today. It's supposed to be every day. We're called to share the good news. And often in church and in this church, you have heard Matthew 28:16-20, repeat, 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 repeat. And here's what it says. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, and I love this. I went Friday night to Sight and Sound's show, Jesus. Incredible. You've got emotional several times. And it's the scenes. It's, you know, we're taught when you read scripture, you're supposed to put yourself into the story. And that's what I love about that show is it puts me in the story. And there's the moments that they pick up on that I love. My favorite scene in the show was when Jesus heals the leper. And the leper shows up and he's in rags and he's a mess. And the disciples freak out. And they tell Jesus, whoa, keep away. Don't go near him. You can't touch him. And Jesus runs to him and embraces him. And the disciples are freaking out. It's a subtle part of the show, but it's the parts I live for in shows like this. Jesus comes back full of joy. Obviously, the leper has been healed. And Jesus touches each of the disciples. It's a great scene. It's a great scene because the disciples, you know, Jesus comes near him. And they're like, man, you just touched the leper. Stay away from me, man. And then he goes up to John. That was the best one. It was the last disciple he goes up to. He plants both hands on his face and goes, oh, John. And John's just like, oh, right. And it was how many times, and you pick it up in the scripture all the time, and I love how they handle it in the show. Jesus is repeating. How many times am I going to have to tell my disciples this? The message we're talking about today needs to be on repeat. When the staff will ask me every year, hey, what are you going to cover this Easter? I'm always like, we're going to go with the resurrection one more time. We're going to do it again. We're going to say it again. Because we believe in the resurrection and we believe in the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection that's available for every single person on campus today and every single person watching at home. And Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You now have a job to do. You have a decision to make with the decision you've made to follow Jesus. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And if today is a day that you place faith in Jesus, or you place faith in Jesus in the last year or two, or maybe years ago, but you've never been baptized, that today you would step into the water here in about 5 to 10 minutes. Because we're baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, and then teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And there was a moment, you know, I've denied the power of the resurrection multiple times in the last year. I even put online, and I deleted it as soon as I put out there. I'm like, I can't believe I just said that. But, you know, and it's sad to me because I've already seen it happen. Through the pandemic and through the political season, not every friendship has survived. And I actually put that out. Not every friendship is going to survive. And then it hits me. No, I believe in the power of the resurrection, even over our friendships and reconciliation. And, you know, we came through the pandemic and then we went into this political season. And I've heard it, I don't know how many times, from believers in Christ Jesus and believers at our church, family members, people I love dearly, saying, Ted, are you super concerned about losing our freedoms to share the good news of Jesus? And I just got to tell you something. I'm not concerned at all. It doesn't mean we don't have people in office that we support and vote and encourage. I'm not talking about that, but I'm not concerned. Here's why. If we spent more time sharing the good news, we wouldn't be so consumed with losing our freedom to do so. And I've asked people who are super concerned about losing this freedom, when's the last time you actually shared the good news? You're wanting to protect a freedom that you never use. Share the good news of Jesus. People are like, Ted, you could end up in prison. Well, I don't want to go to prison. But somebody said, you know, with some of the stuff you say, you could go to jail. I'm like, well, I remember what one pastor in California, prisoners need Jesus too. And if that's where I end up preaching my final days, guess what? I just want you to know, a lot of your Bible comes from prison. It comes from jail. We got to remember the context in which we read. I'm not consumed. Why? Because nothing will ever stop the church from sharing the good news. Nothing. No government, no authority, no big tech. Nothing will ever keep the good news from going out. And by the way, the disciples took this. They took this to their deaths. That's how far they went. The only thing that was going to shut them up was their death. Will you take up your cross and follow him? Have you decided to follow Jesus? Do you believe and do you worship? Will you go and tell? I'm excited about 2021. I believe, I don't say stuff like this all the time, but because you hear pastors say, you know, next Sunday is going to be our best Sunday ever. Well, probably won't be. But it's like you can't keep one-upping yourself. You rarely ever hear, get to church, it's going to be the best weekend we've ever had. I don't say that, and I don't even say it about that. This year is going to be the best year. We just came out of a difficult year. But the thing I believe about 2021, and I already see it happening, the good news is going out. And the people serious about the good news see no hindrances to it. They actually see the potential threats or hindrances to it as even more opportunity to share it. Will you go and tell? Because it's not just a message for today. It's a message that we leave here with and we share. I want to invite you back next Sunday as we're starting a series called Into the Neighborhood. And in John chapter 1, verse 14, many of you have read it before, Jesus said, or the scripture says that Jesus, he's the Word, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. The message paraphrase of that verse I love. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, is what the NIV says. The Message translation says, the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. And we're going to talk about what it means to interact, what it means to engage, what it means to take the good news to our neighbors, what it means to take the good news as we talk about the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus, Jesus and Nicodemus, which is another great scene in the show Jesus Here in Town, Jesus and Bartimaeus, Jesus and the little boy's lunch. We're going to work through all of this in April and May, and I want to encourage you to be a part of that. If you've made a decision for Christ today, or you want to make a decision for Christ today, I'm going to pray as I walk out and head toward the water. And I just encourage wherever you are on campus, just meet me at the water. I'd love to talk to you. Let's pray. Father, it's in the name of Jesus that we thank you for this morning, celebrating the resurrected Jesus. And I just pray for the one right now who's never placed faith in Jesus, that today would be the day they confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that he has been raised from the dead, that today they would be saved. As we step to the water and as people step into the water to go from death to life and paint that picture for us and point people to Jesus. Thank you for all you continue to do at this church. May the good news continue to go out. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray it. And everyone agreed and said.